Hi everyone, it's Catherine. Just popping on to let you know that we are doing something a little bit different the next couple of weeks in the lead up to my book, The Competition, coming out in Feb 2022. So we're going to start with a three-part deep dive, no spoilers, but some behind-the-scenes content. And then after that, we're going to do some interviews with social media and publicity experts on what to do when your book comes out. So a little bit like what we did in the early days of the podcast for those that have been listening that long. So stay tuned and hopefully stay well.
Okay, I want to take us back for a moment. And for any listeners who have joined us more recently and who haven't gone back to listen to some of our very first episodes, not only did we talk to some really fabulous guests in 2018, but Catherine, you and I are very wide-eyed. We have this very clear plan of how everything, our books, our podcasts, everything in our life is going to play out. We even have, for the whole first season, this genuine belief that we are going to make some money from the podcast.
Oh my God. It's a bit like this Sex and the City rerun where I think Carrie's like making money from her podcast. It is not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. But I do think that the loveliest thing really looking back is kind of that it's all on the record and we sound very hopeful and very excited, and sometimes we wear our hearts on our sleeves with our disappointments. So we started the podcast just as you were about to launch the helpline. Can you remember your headspace then? What were you thinking and feeling in a nutshell?
Completely overwhelmed. I was super excited for sure, but it felt big and thrilling. And I also felt so fraudulent and like I knew nothing. And I was looking at, you know, these events coming up or different interviews and things that I'd be doing. And you'd just be like, I could talk about the book a bit, but I really had no sense of what to say. Or, yeah, it was such a strange time. An exciting time, but a strange time.
Such a strange time. I went back and I listened to some of our early episodes and, oh my goodness, I was just kind of grinning along listening to us. The book hadn't come out yet and you had looked at Goodreads and you had 4 reviews and you were so upset and we were talking about it, but like the 4 reviews you had were all above 3-star. Like oh my gosh, do we not know what was to come? So I want to ask, this is kind of first time versus second time. What's going to be your approach to Goodreads this time around, Catherine?
Oh, that is hilarious. I actually remember having that conversation now that you said
you were
that.
Heartbroken. You could almost not speak. I think you actually said, I don't want to record this episode and I made you.
Yeah. I really... I remember trying to be really open in those first podcast episodes and feeling really vulnerable. Yes. Like I think I really obnoxiously made you re-record the one on international rights sales because I was worried that I wasn't striking the correct balance between humility and enthusiasm. Like it just was like... It was a funny thing to be reflecting on that process in a semi-public sense as it unfolded.
Yeah. And also we didn't we kind of knew it was public, but we didn't really have a sense of how public it was. It still felt a little bit like we were just talking to ourselves, but we were not.
Well, we were at the time. We didn't know that it really would strike a chord and get a listenership. Like it really could have gone either way at that point.
It could have. It's true. Okay, so Goodreads this time around. What are you going to do?
Oh, God. I am not in any hurry to be looking up Goodreads.
Just don't.
Carney will look in a heartbeat. He will be abreast for those first 6 weeks or however long is that really intense period.
Yeah.
But he won't tell me until I ask, and then he will tell me everything. Okay. He probably needs to learn the Toastmasters, you know, say the good stuff. You know, before the bad, or like bundle them up in this nice little thing. Anyway, so
does
Carney
that stand
will look
for
at
reviews
it.
As well, like reviews in the press, etc.?
I think so too. I think last time I know Jane would send them to me,
and I would sort of scan them, but I know sometimes people don't believe this maybe, but I would really only do it in a self-flagellating mood in some ways, because I would be looking for the worst. I yep. know that of myself, that I would be yep. looking for the negative, which is like terrible, because you want to celebrate the positive. But I having said that though, I think I think that's something to work on, to be more. And I'm very grateful. Like, it's a very grateful thing to get a review, you know?
Yeah, it's hard. It's a very hard balance. I will put in my two bobs worth here to say that the best thing that people can do, that listeners and writerly friends can do for Catherine or whoever's book is coming out, is to repost the great reviews, whether you see them on Twitter or in the press or whatever, so Catherine doesn't have to do it herself, and she doesn't even have to look if she doesn't want to. I find that to be a useful thing we can do as a writerly community, is to do the reposting and the celebrating for you, so you don't actually have to read the review and work out if they said something awful.
I'm sure I've asked you this before, flipping the question back to you. What was your approach with the Motherfault? Did that differ with Skylarking? How did you?
I didn't look at Goodreads. I didn't look at Goodreads, but as we have discussed before, I did not take off the Google alert on my name, which led to that midnight howling session when I got a particularly cutting review. So I would, you know, I noticed Catherine Heyman for Fury. She said that she didn't look at any reviews in that 6-week period, and then she kind of slowly, I think, came back to them. And looked at the positive ones. And I think, you know, that's probably very healthy. Like, there's a lot of other stuff that you're balancing in that time. And, you know, they can be really crushing. So,
I think, you know, that is
when
great
bookstagrammers
advice.
Tag you and they say awful things, like, don't do that. Don't do that.
The Emma Gold's podcast with The Green Room.
Terrific.
They had some quotes. Yeah, excellent podcast. But they had she had some quotes from Charlotte Wood on their Instagram. And it was something to the effect of, really only other writers understand that vulnerability of putting your own creative work into the world, or everyone should have to. Like, it was something that I found a bit of a balm
coming absolutely.
From and also a very that, experienced writer.
That idea that it's got nothing to do with you once it's out in the world, you know, to separate. That was actually in listening back. You'd had that session with Alison Manning, which was, again, an incredibly brave and vulnerable thing to do and to record. And you were talking about the lesson that you'd learned from her, which was about ensuring that the book wasn't intimately tied to who you are, think of yourself as a person, that it's a separate kind of a thing. It's something you produce. It is not you yourself. And I think that was a good reminder for me as well.
I think the other reminder would just be, it's only a book. Like, you can be so too fragile too.
Absolutely.
You know. Sort of
absolutely. Bit. Need to read some of Garner in the diaries about how she deals with such things.
What does she do?
No, she just, I think she's so open about how much it hurts, but she's also very kind of get up and go about it. And she, you know, eviscerates some of the reviewers at the same time as eviscerating herself. And I think that's a really healthy kind of honest way of going about it. So the other thing I remembered as I was listening back is that you had some pretty big gigs. You know, the morning of release, you were on John Fain, who's kind of like primetime breakfast radio here in Melbourne. You were on the telly. These were really big things. And I wanted to ask, now reflecting back, did you realise how big they were at the time, and do you have a different perspective now?
I thought I did at the time. I didn't. And now I have, like, a perspective of, like, yeah, that's pretty special. Like, John Fain, that was really cool. But I always laugh about going on TV. Like, it was really fun and like a big thing, totally. But I just love that idea that I had told literally everyone and then they forgot I was coming on. Like, that just feels like it sums something up. I was very, very lucky. I think there's really that thing that people talk about, publishing loving a virgin. It is different the second time around. When I met with
Jane, my publicist, she was like, we're not talking about sewerage ever again. That's been milked. I was pretty happy about that. But yeah, where do you, like, it's a totally, to break someone out is to, you have all of that stuff to tell a story attached to the book. And this time I can see why she was, I said this in a previous episode, accidentally claiming that I was a public speaking world champion. That is a great story for publicity. Unfortunately, not true, but you know, it would be good if it was.
Preston Champion still has a ring to it. It really does.
It does, yeah.
So one of the things that happened at the end of our very first season is that you were very on the fence about social media and its use in general, or whether it was the thing for you. And I want to know, has that feeling changed? Because in an upcoming episode, we're going to get you some very excellent advice on how to manage your socials this time around. But I want to know if your feeling about it has changed.
I think I attach it to social media, but for me, probably my hesitancy, or some of my hesitancy, is just about phone use. Like, I don't like that I can sit on a phone and just scroll at junk. I mean, I can do that, like scrolling internet items that I don't know, might want to purchase and fall down rabbit holes in that. But I don't know, you can easily pass half an hour just looking at an Instagram feed. I know. So I have that layer of hesitancy, and just that feeling of, like, after I, you know, I go to bed, I read a book, and then I might pick up my phone and what am I even doing? Like, yeah. Open Instagram and just, like, it's not, maybe if I limited it and did it in a more dedicated, meaningful manner, I would realize that it's just phone addiction that I have the,
that's interesting.
The question mark over. But I do like, there are certainly people I've connected with through social media that I feel really, like, I really do value that aspect.
Yeah.
And that, yeah, you can create a community and build friendships. I think that bit's really nice. And I've noticed that, like, with the book starting to come out and seeing pictures people are posting, that's really lovely.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah, there is an incredible
joy in that.
Incredible community out there. I think it's actually, this is a really good time of year to kind of take stock of, exactly what you're saying. It's more phone use in general, and how you might, just watching people who are taking a break over the summer, and because I'm not at the beach at this time where I normally would be, and I'd normally be off my phone except to take pictures, which means I'm on the phone. Anyway, it's a time that I'm certainly thinking about, okay, what's it going to look like for you this year? How are you going to manage the phone and the socials and getting your work done?
Do you have a plan? Tell me your plan.
Yeah, I think that
I will write it down and copy it.
Yeah, well, I think that I'm going to, what I found incredibly useful when I am on retreat is not looking at it in the morning. So that kind of, I suppose, habit that I get into, and certainly during lockdowns, of checking all of the news, all of the feeds, you know, listening to the new whatever news broadcasts and all that kind of stuff, is that just you're suddenly very in the world and all of its pressures. So
yeah.
So I really enjoyed kind of not having that. And also even just, you would be the same, like, it's incredible, and I'm so grateful and privileged to be so connected to all of my friends and family and all the groups. But when I was on retreat a couple of weeks back, I had my phone on airplane mode until kind of lunchtime. And even just the quiet of that, like, you know, not the kind of WhatsApp groups and things going off, was really incredible. So I think that I'm going to try and do 8 to 12, which without my phone, and that will be my kind of, and without email and without the internet on. And then I'll do other stuff in the afternoon and really try and kind of have a dedicated socials time a bit.
They're just so addictive. Like, they really are. Well,
they're designed to be. There's really smart people making them. So, you know, sometimes I comfort myself with that thought. Now, not only have you gone through that roller coaster first time experience now, Catherine, and you're obviously 4 years older and wiser. You've also had the benefit of the wisdom of all of those writers that we've spoken to. So I wanted to ask if there's any pieces of advice that have really stood out to you about how to survive or even enjoy this release period.
I think that it's rather like when someone asks you what your favorite book is, or even what a book you've ever read is. And it's like the moment they say that question, every book just flies out of your head.
Absolutely. And you have nothing. It's so true.
I do think of Charlotte Wood's Confidence is a Decision a lot. I reckon that's great advice.
Yeah.
I think Jack Heath has, I always remember him telling this story about how he had two books coming out at the same time and he was really attached to one and thought it would be amazing and didn't put much effort or energy into the other one. And when he saw his sort of royalty statements, what he expected would do well, hadn't done well, and what he thought wouldn't do well had done really well. So I think that what I like about hearing from writers who've had a lot of experiences, had books that have done really well, had books that haven't been as well received either critically or by readers, is that, I guess, partly that it's a bit random. It's the same writer. So, you know, you could equally say they're the best writer in the world because they've had this amazing book, or you could say they're the worst writer in the world because they've had this terrible book, but in fact they're both the same writer.
Yeah.
I think people who've published a lot have a really good perspective on creativity, that yes, it's a challenging thing to release something into the world and it may feel like it's a bit of yourself, but also at the end of the day, it's just a book.
Yeah.
And it's a thing you created and there will be other things that you create. And some people will like some of them and some people will dislike some of them, and just keep writing, really. I think that that's probably the thing I've taken home the most.
That seems very, very grown up of you. And I'm going to remind myself that constantly. When you look back at June 2018, when we began the first time podcast, is there anything that you would tell that Catherine about what's coming at her?
I would just say enjoy it. I think I would have tried to sell myself at the time and I did enjoy it. Like I had a lot of fun. There were some really good moments in that time. And since that time and the people that I've met and been able to talk to through writing and through this podcast, is like I felt very privileged to be able to do that. And it's been fun just spending time together. Like I think it's been really nice to create a thing. I think I've said it in the book, in the acknowledgements, it's nice to do a team sport.
It is nice to do a team sport. Writing on your own. Someone's got your back. We're part of a team. Can I ask something really as part of this team, that this time, after the launch of your amazing book, The Competition, and we will give details of that, can you just not go home straight after and just have chips because you have to get up early the next morning? Can we maybe you out for a drink?
Yes, I totally am excited about that. That is absolutely on the cards. And I think it's we're still confirming the launch date, but it will be my birthday either the following day or 2 days after. So well, I have double the amount to celebrate.
It is essential. We will be celebrating.
And we can include chips. Like we don't have to have like a chip free.
It's not experience. One or the other. There can be chips and a drink.
That's right.
You can find the show notes for today's episode on our website, thefirsttimepodcast.com. Get in touch with us via Instagram or Twitter at @thefirsttimepod, or you can leave us a message on the website. Thanks for listening. You've been listening to The First Time Podcast. We record this podcast virtually on the unceded lands of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. We pay our respects to elders, past and present, and we extend that to our First Nations guests and listeners. Sound production by Phoebe 80, who we can employ because of the wonderful support of our patrons via Patreon. Thank you so much for making this podcast possible.